justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome back to your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien came to the studio and he goes, "Is a new Star Wars come out today?" And it's like, well, we're both wearing Last Jedi t-shirts and I brought my lightsaber in studio, so.
You're a child.
Did I tell you, I haven't told you the story on this. I have a.
I feel like we're about to hear it.
It hooks to my belt, right? So I was wearing it this morning when I got in.
It's so weird.
We pull into the parking lot. There's all these cars in the parking in the parking garage.
Which is bizarre when you come into work at 5 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, was there a concert I wasn't aware of and everybody left their cars here? But there's a big telethon going on. I mean, a radio-a-thon going on for, I think, for St. Jude.
Mm-hmm.
So I came upstairs, and the door was open. There's all these people answering phones, and I could just completely spaced out that I had the lightsaber hilt strapped to my hip. I just get these people looking at me going, Is that what I think it is?
I don't think that many people would see that and think lightsaber.
There were some of the what weird weapon is he brandishing? And then you could tell one guy was like, I think that's a lightsaber. Yeah, I should tweet a picture of that.
You would stare these people down if you studied that many reactions.
All right, it was made official yesterday amidst much speculation. Governor Dayton did appoint Tina Smith, Lieutenant Governor Tina Flint Smith, to the soon-to-be-vacated seat of Senator Al Franken. And this has, of course, caused some ripple effects in the Minnesota legislature because the Constitution dictates that the last elected president of the Senate, mm-hmm. right, ascends to the Lieutenant Governor position.
Correct.
That would be Republican Michelle Fischbach.
That's right.
We've got lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien in studio. And so the assumption was that this would be a vacated Senate seat, and we would have to scramble to have yet another special election. Mm-hmm. There was also some speculation that the Governor Dayton would call a special session. The Senate would nominate and elect a new president, right, before Lieutenant Governor Tina Flint Smith departed
yep.
and became senator, and it would be an agreed upon DFLer.
Correct.
And that person would then move to Lieutenant Governor. Then they would go back and reelect Michelle Fischbach. That's not happening. Michelle Fischbach is now saying, I'm just going to do both.
Yep. Yep.
And there's some confusion as to whether or not she actually can. She might be able to.
Yeah.
She might not be able to. We don't know.
Yeah. And just where the confusion lies, there's a Supreme Court case called State X. Rel. Marvy Stearns from 1898. Now, the case was, so there was other portions of this case that were ultimately reversed by the U.S. Supreme Court. But this is where this holding is that the Republicans in the Senate and Senator Fischbach are basing their argument on. It is directly on point. They had one of the arguments in this case, there was an underlying issue with some railroad land or something, but one of the arguments was it didn't receive the right number of votes in the Senate for whatever was going on because one of the senators was then serving as lieutenant governor.
Okay.
And so the case it can't get any more on point than saying that it says the president pro tempore of the state Senate does not cease to be a senator when he becomes lieutenant governor by reason of a vacancy in such office. I mean, that's what we lawyers call slam dunk. That's black letter case on point.
Okay.
The governor has asked the attorney general for an opinion as to whether or not she has to vacate. And he's referencing a section of the Constitution the Minnesota Constitution that says no senator or representative shall hold any other office under the authority of the United States or the state of Minnesota except that of postmaster or of notary public. If elected or appointed to another office, a legislator may resign from the legislature by tendering his resignation to the governor. That provision of the Minnesota Constitution is cited in State X. Rel. Marvy Stearns. Now, what Tom Bach, the Senate Minority Leader, and by way of background on Tom Bach, this is the man that spent $90 million of taxpayer money for a new Senate building we didn't need and fought vociferously over the years to prevent us from buying liquor on Sundays.
Yeah.
So gives you an idea of the character of the man.
I'd say something bad about him, but he's terrifying.
In terms of political officials, he ranks somewhere desirability and likability. I think he ranks somewhere just slightly below Emperor Palpatine. And he probably fantasizes himself as Emperor Palpatine. Anyway, so he came out yesterday and said, "Well, we're going to have a special. We're going to have a vacated seat. So, control of the Senate's up for grabs."
Yeah. Yeah, well, what the heck was that about? He jumped right out there.
Just by way of history, the lieutenant governor used to be a separately elected position.
Right.
And they changed it in this 1972 constitutional amendment, and they said that the lieutenant governor and the governor are elected jointly. So you had the governor elect and lieutenant governor of the same party. And that this is when they struck this provision that the lieutenant governor was the president at the time. At one point, the lieutenant governor did serve as part of their duties, serving as president of the Senate. So that his argument is, well, this amendment to the Minnesota Constitution overrode this case. That doesn't apply. The troubling thing in this case is the court mentions that, well, this senator that served in both positions did this and voted on things, and nobody said anything about it. So Tom Bach is probably going to be the one that says something about it.
I want to bring on Howard Root. Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Good morning, Drew. I'm just getting my steak appetite up this morning. Big steak coming real soon.
Are you like preparing like people do for Thanksgiving? Like, I'm not going to eat all day.
Yeah, I'm vegetarian for the week until we eat. So
Congratulations, you did nail that prediction. I was clearly in the wrong in my prediction and my speculation that Tina Smith was a smokescreen.
Before we get and follow me sort of as I get to my question via a weird path. Do we have any way? Do you have any way of knowing how long it would take to go and research to find these cases that relate to what's going on? I mean, when you're going back all the way to 1898 or 1889,
yeah.
I mean, how quickly can they pull up this information and the data? And the reason why I ask is because if it takes a long time and they have to break all this down, not that it matters at this point in time, but it would kind of lend itself to why they waited longer than they did. I think the conventional wisdom is they were waiting for that Alabama race to be over. But at the same time, I'm wondering how long it took them to kind of game all of this to see where the precedent was and how things would play out depending on what move Dayton made.
Well, I can tell you that I first saw this mention of this case. It was actually another friend of the show. It was Nick Zerwas retweeted somebody the morning that it was the story broke that Senator Franken was going to resign.
Okay,
and this was brought up. Everybody, you know, a lot of folks have been, you know, assuming that Dayton was going to name as lieutenant governor, except for Drew.
right.
Anyway, so I saw this case. I grabbed it yesterday when this whole kerfuffle came up, and I sent to a law clerk, so can you find me this case? He had the case in 5 minutes. So it's referenced in there's a memo on from the Senate Counsel that wrote to Senator Fischbach. Actually, you can find it online. It's cited in there too. The folks that have been looking at this have been aware of this case. I think what the governor is asking is there some other provision in the Constitution that overrides it? But I don't see the argument.
Howard Root, I know you were tweeting about this a little bit yesterday. I want to get your thoughts as well. First question is, in your opinion, from what you've been able to gather and learn so far, do you think Senator Fischbach can hold both offices?
Oh, yeah, I think she can. And I agree with your lawyer extraordinaire. I think he's spot on. That court case from 1898 still holds, and the 1972 amendment, all that did was take more power away from the lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor is the one office that has absolutely no independent authority. In fact, they can't be impeached because they have nothing to be impeached over. So there's no argument that 1972 overturned this longstanding court case. And I think it's black-letter law that she can hold both positions. And the other part of it is we got to use the inaction of the Supreme Court on our side this time, because this lawsuit will drag on for 6 to 9 months. It's only 12 months before the election. So we just got to get past this start of the session and make sure we don't lose the control of the Senate. And I think the Republicans can do that if they just don't fold or make another bad deal with Governor Dayton.
I want to get both of your thoughts. We'll start with Howard. What do you think Governor Dayton, if you want to play prognosticator, you want to play, you know, a psychic to Governor Dayton, as daunting as that may be. What do you think Governor Dayton was thinking when he made this appointment in regards specifically to this Senate seat? Do you think he assumed that Fischbach would resign, that this was indeed a House of Cards type move, as Jennifer Carnahan has portrayed it, and it would possibly throw the balance of the Senate into flux? Or do you want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he picked Tina Smith because he thinks she was the best pick, and let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, I think he picked Tina Flint Smith because she's a good friend of his, and she's been doing everything. She's been carrying the water for him for the last session, I mean, plus. And so she wanted this, and then the only obstacle was, would she run for re-election? And the powers that be in D.C. said, you know, Governor Dayton, don't appoint someone unless they're going to use that power of incumbency to run for re-election. And once Tina Flint Smith said, yeah, I'll run again in 2018, then it was done and done. And then they just let the rest of it fall where it may. I mean, that's a benefit if they can get that. But he didn't have a lot of great other options. If he nominated or appointed someone else, it would cause a lot of disarray. Keith Ellison would be complete upheaval in the state trying to run for re-election on a statewide basis. So he made a safe bet, and then he's trying to get the benefit of upheaval in the Senate by doing that. But I don't think the Senate thing was the reason he appointed Tina Flint Smith. But I don't know, Jeffrey, what did you think about that?
I agree with you, Howard. I don't think that the governor went through that calculation in terms of the balance of power in the Senate. I think there was a tremendous pressure on him, given the circumstances of why Al Franken is leaving office, to appoint a woman to that seat. I think he had three high-ranking Democrat women in Minnesota state government. Two of them are running for governor. One is declared for governor. One is Lori Swanson, the attorney general, is likely to be running for governor. That left Tina Smith, and I don't think he you know, made that decision lightly, giving up his political confidant in the governor's office in having her go. But I do think that there was what I think the delay was in seeing if Tina Smith, doing some soul searching and deciding if she wanted to run for the re-election in the special election next year. I think that was the big key. I think the governor had been given kind of instructions from Washington, from the National Party: do not appoint a placeholder. Get it to somebody that's going to have to be able to run as a de facto incumbent next November.
Jeff O'Brien and Howard Root join us on Justice and Drew this morning, and I think the answer. I tend to agree with both of you guys, and I think the answer is really going to come down to, we'll know depending on how the Michelle Fischbach situation goes down. If it is the slam dunk, like you say, then they probably are aware of that. It was right in their minds to try to challenge it, to see if they could actually get like a bonus if for some reason the Minnesota Supreme Court were to rule in their fashion and she would have to leave her seat and only do the one job. But if it is the slam dunk, then I think, and they know that, then you kind of go, okay, they probably knew that. That's why she ran. She really does want this seat. And as we talked about earlier, you know, I think there's a big question mark over whether or not the voters and the GOP are going to be able to craft that argument countering that, saying, you don't know who this person is. She never ran for any elected position before. They chose this for you. They're picking this seat, which I think is a strong argument. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that has an impact on the voters remains to be seen at this point in time.
Yeah, there's my opinion, in all the years I've been involved with politics in this state, and it's been a long time, going back to my college days, but there's no more vicious creature than a Democrat getting a chance to have a seat.
Right.
And so I don't think that appointing Tina Smith is gonna stave off, you know, Keith Ellison, Nikiva Leamy Pounds, all these folks that want that seat. I don't think that her being the incumbent necessarily means she's not going to get a primary challenge or some challenge for the endorsement. You never know. I think the way that these positions break down on this issue of Senator Fischbach is you have the Republicans in the Senate saying she can stay. You have the governor almost being neutral, saying, I have to get this question answered by the attorney general.
Right.
And then you have Tom Bach, who is, you know, looking to get himself back in as majority leader so he can build another Senate building or prevent us from, you know, buying something else on Sundays.
Well, and what'll be fascinating to see, and Howard, if you want to chime in here in a moment, but already in less than 24 hours, we talked about this earlier, you know, this coronation of Tina Smith. I mean, the way the media has always, I mean, the number, the stack I have of articles alone based off of the fact that she was appointed and get to know her, and she's the velvet hammer. I mean, they're already sort of anointing her. What'll be fascinating is if there are any challengers from the DFL to that seat, it'll be interesting to see what the media ends up doing and who they decide they actually want to start, you know, sort of leaning towards, because that's going to happen.
Well, the fawning over her in the Minnesota media has already begun, and it will not stop.
No.
If you thought they loved Amy Klobuchar, they're going to love Tina Smith even more. I want to get both of your thoughts real quick on going forward. Tina Smith, my speculation, I talked with you, Howard, about this on this, was that Tina Smith didn't really have the higher political aspirations. She didn't want to run for office. Well, clearly she has gone all in, at least on 2018, if not 2020. How formidable a candidate, if formidable at all, I mean, how strong a candidate do you anticipate her being going into 2028? She finished off yesterday's press conference with, you know, I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't confident, and don't underestimate me. And she seems pretty fired up.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be that formidable. I think she is going to be the anointed one. I would be surprised if there's a credible challenge to her, especially for 2018. We've only got 9 or 10 months to go, and the endorsement is only a couple months away. And the party is going to put everything behind her. You know, I know her husband a little bit. I mean, he's a money manager, Wall Street guy. His most recent job is managing the money for the American branch of the Rothschild family. So this is, you know, limousine liberals from Lake Harriet going out to outstate Minnesota to campaign. So when they start seeing Tina, I think there's an opportunity for the Republicans to pick that up. She's nowhere near as well-known as Amy Klobuchar. She's nowhere as skilled a politician as Amy Klobuchar. And she might actually take a position on a substantive issue, unlike Amy Klobuchar. So that all could be good for the Republicans.
That would be so weird.
I tend to think that she's going to try to play out of the Amy Klobuchar playbook. She's going to try to be the Senator Small Stuff for the next year, which doesn't exactly excite, you know. So again, if she's looking at, you know, fending off challenges from inside her party, that's not going to get the progressive wing of her party off her back. And I think it also depends as to who the Republicans end up running. You know, if they can, I think that if they can find a dynamic candidate and that can, you know, win basically outstate Minnesota and eat into the Democrat candidate's traditional stronghold in the inner city and the suburbs, I think they can beat her.
And last question, Howard Root. Where are we going for that steak dinner?
Well, I'm open. You know, Manny's, Murray's, anything that starts with an M, I'm okay. If steak's bigger than 4 pounds, I'm good with it.
All right, McDonald's it is.
4 pounds?
No, that's not. That's
he
not
said any place steak. That starts with an M.
No, he said that serves steak.
I'm sure they have some
Can
steak
I just weigh in here? What about Jack's Cafe in Northeast Minneapolis? That's like the best place for steak in the city.
Oh, that is great. That's where I went to high school homecoming in 1977. So that's my place.
All right, Howard, we will work out the details, and I look forward to taking an unemployed man out to dinner.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, buddy. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for your time.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Hey, man, thanks for the insight and time, as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up, Fox News contributor, editor at townhall.com, Katie Pavlich is going to be joining us. Katie owned Nancy Pelosi on Twitter. We'll talk to her a bit about that. And we'll also get Katie's thoughts on, we haven't had a chance to really give it much time this morning, but the Senate and the House, they came together on a tax deal, and they're looking at Christmas, trying to get it done before that. We'll see what kind of likelihood that is of happening with Katie. Justice.